Good evening. What a wonderful reading. Thank you so much. And what a great reminder it is that God's word is alive, it is living, it is at work in us, and it changes us as we read it and as we hear it. Please pray with me now that God's spirit would continue to be at work in us this evening. Almighty God, by the work of your Spirit, please help us to hear and understand today more of who you are and how we can live knowing Jesus as friend and King. Amen. Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. I'm Anna. If we have not met before, hello. I am the kids and youth worker here at Wellspring. Very excited to be here with you this afternoon. I would like to say there are some activity sheets and also sheets for like taking notes throughout the sermon for a variety of ages if you would like to grab one. If you haven't already, you are welcome to. Today, as we think about this passage in Mark, we're going to think about three things. Firstly, we're going to think about the context of this passage, particularly who the Pharisees were. We're going to think about Jesus, who he says he is, and the things that he does. And we're going to think about how we can respond today. We're going to think about its application. So let's start with context. We're in the book of Mark. And so last week, Rob shared with us about the grace of Jesus that extends to all people, saves any kind of sinner, not just our version of a sinner. It was just one verse ago that Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Now, in this passage today, Pharisees are mentioned multiple times, but who exactly were the Pharisees? Today, you might be familiar with Pharisees. You might be like, yeah, the Pharisees, they have a pretty bad reputation. We're told we do not want to be like the Pharisees because the Pharisees, they are so hypocritical. Hypocritical is you say one thing, but you do something else. Now, it's true. We don't really want to be like the Pharisees in some ways, but perhaps for different reasons. So this afternoon, can you take the Pharisees out of that box that you have them in about them being exclusively hypocritical? And let's think about them as people who really, truly desired to love God with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They knew God's word from what we now call the Old Testament. They knew it really well. They knew God's law, his commandments, and they thought, well, if we make extra rules, it's going to be extra hard to break these commandments, so let's do that. So they had lots of extra rules. Extra rules about when to eat and not eat, when to work and not work, what counts as work, because one of the rules that they wanted to keep, one of the laws, one of God's commandments, it was the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. So they had lots of rules about what they could and couldn't do on their Sabbath, ways that they couldn't work. They wanted to make sure that they kept God's commandments, so they made lots of extra rules so that they would. Let's think of the Pharisees not as hypocritical, but hypercritical, a bit judgmental of other people, and really stubborn. So stubborn, this is a word we're going to talk about a little bit today. So I want us to all kind of be on the same page and understand what stubborn means. So before we get into that, can you please turn to the people around you and have a chat about what you think stubborn means? Maybe if you have no idea, you can ask them what it means, or maybe you have a really great definition for stubborn. Please have a chat.
They don't like to change. They're always looking like they don't about if money is right. He only cares about himself. He's just putting his hand on her.
I put my hand up like that.
Scatterous.
Thank you so much, everyone. As much as I really, truly would love to ask some people to let me know their definitions, instead, I am going to share one that I have come up with. Stubborn. Really not wanting to change your opinion or attitude on something, even when someone gives you a really good reason to change your opinion or attitude on something. Another way to say this, stubborn is really not wanting to change what you think or feel about something, even when someone gives you a really good reason to. Now, a couple of people down the front did give a really great example of someone who is stubborn, Pharaoh from the Old Testament, because in Spring Kids at 10 a.m., which some of these kids attend, we have been learning about Moses, the Exodus, and Pharaoh is very stubborn. So let's remember, stubborn. Now the last bit of context, Mark chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus has been saying from the beginning of Mark, the time has come, the kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe the good news. He's saying the thing that you have been waiting for is happening. God is king and his rescue plan is happening. And in the first two chapters of Mark, we've heard all of the amazing things that Jesus is saying and doing. Amazing things, different things. But the stubborn Pharisees, they don't like different. And then we get to Mark chapter 2, verse 18, where our reading started this afternoon. Some people ask Jesus, they say, why aren't your followers, your friends, your disciples, why aren't they doing what everyone else is doing? Why aren't they fasting? Fasting is going without food for a while to focus your attention on God. They're asking why Jesus' disciples are eating when no one else is. Jesus replies by saying some things about being the bridegroom, and he says some stuff about wineskins. And I don't know about you, but I can read this and be like, okay, but why aren't they fasting? Again, Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is near. It's new, it's exciting. This is a celebration. It's a feast, like a wedding celebration, a feast, not a fast. The kingdom of God is near, new, and exciting, and it's not going to look exactly the same as it did before. We aren't going to have to do all of the same things that we did before. That would be silly. Just like putting new wine into old wineskins is silly, because it ruins the wine and the wineskin. And then Mark tells another story right after this one. Again, Jesus' friends are doing something. They're picking heads of grain to snack on. And the Pharisees are like, we said that people weren't allowed to do that on the Sabbath. Remember, they had lots of extra rules about what they could and couldn't do on the Sabbath. The Pharisees are asking Jesus, why are your disciples picking heads of grain? That counts as work, even if it's just to snack on. Because the Pharisees are stubborn and they don't like different. Jesus replies and he's like, hang on a second, let's just chill out, because the Sabbath isn't here to make your life harder. It's here to make it better. Make our lives better, not harder. For the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And then Jesus says that he is Lord even of the Sabbath, even of the Sabbath. Throughout Mark, we continue to learn that Jesus is Lord Jesus is king over everything, Sabbath included. And so we should listen to what Jesus teaches because he is Lord. Remember that being stubborn is really not wanting to change what you think about something, even when someone gives you a really good reason to change your mind. A really good reason to change your mind would be Jesus telling you to change your mind. It would be Jesus teaching you something new. Because Jesus is Lord, Jesus is King over everything. We should be listening to what he's saying and teaching. The Pharisees should be listening to what Jesus is saying and teaching. But the Pharisees don't like different. And then we get another story, a final story. Now, these stories aren't necessarily consecutive chronological stories, but they are stories that Mark has put together for a reason. So again, this last story takes place on the Sabbath, and Jesus heals a man's hand. But before he does that, after he's asked the man to stand up, Jesus turns to the Pharisees and he asks them, which is lawful? He's asking, what am I allowed to do on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill? And the answer seems obvious. Do good, we can always do good. Doing good is always allowed. But the Pharisees don't answer, because they have their rules. Don't work on the Sabbath. And healing someone would count as work, so they're stuck. They don't want to say do evil, but in this situation, they also don't want to do good. The Bible tells us that Jesus looked around at them in anger, and he was deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. And then Jesus heals the man's hand. The Pharisees leave, and their reaction is to begin to plan how they can kill Jesus, because they don't like different. I wonder if you believe all of the things that Jesus says, that he is Lord over all, not just the Sabbath, but even the Sabbath. Do you believe everything that Jesus says, that he is the Son of God, fully human, that the kingdom of God is near, that he lived and died and rose again to save us from sin, that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life, that we should go and make disciples of all nations? Do you believe it? Do you live like you believe it? Or is your heart stubborn? I wonder what it is that we are stubborn about. Are you stubborn about the kind of person who can be saved? That they have to at least be a little bit like us, like the kind of person we've seen get saved before? Are you stubborn about how we worship God? That it has to be certain songs, we have to behave a certain way when we're in church, otherwise it's wrong. Now, preference is totally good and totally fine, but are you hypercritical when someone does it differently? Still faithfully, but differently. Are you stubborn to do good? We have a confession that we're going to be reading out later in the service. It says, we confess, for we have sinned by not doing what we should have done. Is there good that you know you could do, but you don't? Are you stubborn about who Jesus is? Do you want to get on board with Jesus's mission, or are you just hoping to find something that says that he's already on board with yours? What is your heart stubborn towards? Let's be people who pray that God would reveal our stubborn hearts, that he would soften our hearts, ours and the people around us, our friends, our neighbors, those in our communities, all throughout Hobart, Tasmania, the world. May more people come to know Jesus as their friend and their King and live as though that were true. But before we get to prayer, we are going to have a little bit of a chat with each other about what this means for us, what God is prompting in us, what the Spirit is doing at work in us today. So there are going to be some questions on the screen. You can use these as guides, as prompts. And please, as you are comfortable, have a chat with the people around you. Find someone to have a chat to, older, younger, whoever you're comfortable with. And let's think about what God is saying to us today through His Word. So the questions that you can ask are, what questions do I have? After reading through this passage and hearing these words, what questions do you have? How does what I've heard today change what I do, say, or think from now on? How does this change what or who I pray for? Change the eyes to use, chat to the people around you, and then we'll get back up in a moment. Thank you.